It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
Etymologically speaking, there should be adult beverages at every academic symposium.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rena Miller, and joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
So, I like this adult beverage suggestion, but it's all etymological, is it?
I also like this. A colleague of mine pointed out that given the etymology of symposium, when we go to one at the university, it should be much livelier than perhaps it sometimes is, because if you look back to where this word comes from, it comes into English in the 18th century, and it originally means a convivial meeting for drinking, conversation, and intellectual entertainment.
You betcha.
Exactly. So it got transferred pretty quickly to mean a meeting of any kind. So now when we have symposia, there isn't, in fact, often there is not, there aren't adult beverages.
That's what you're doing wrong.
But it had me thinking about words we use in the academy, which had me thinking about academic jargon, including, I mean, there's some obvious ones. If I just take my own field in English departments, literary studies, critical theory, there are words that very much characterize academic language. And sometimes people make fun of academic jargon, but I want to note that it also can serve a purpose in a technical sense. So these would be words in my field like hermeneutic, deconstruction, hegemonic, problematize, phenomenological. These are words that say we're now in the jargon of a particular field.
And it makes you sound so smart, doesn't it?
Yeah. But there's jargon to all fields and professions. So, for example, servers in restaurants have their own jargon.
And then there are police. They do cop speak, which I find really fun. If you read a press release, for example, from something that has transpired, the suspect was apprehended after he attempted to flee on foot. You know, basically, he ran away. You know, they caught him and he ran away. So I think every group has, journalists certainly do, everybody does.
Exactly. And, you know, certainly we can go overboard with it, but I do want to note that in every field, including the academy, it also serves a purpose. Sometimes it can be more specific, can have real meanings to it. This had me thinking about other kinds of language that characterize academic prose, some of which is more subtle than that jargon. If you think about in academia, if we look at conjunctive adverbs, these are the adverbs that connect sentences, there are ones that are really academic, including, for example, however. It turns out it's not that we don't say however, but if you look in the corpus of contemporary American English, we use however 9 times more often in academic prose than we do in speech. Other ones we use more often, thus, is at a ratio of 30-1.
Yeah.
Academic language,
yeah,
versus speech.
I could see that.
Therefore, 5 times more often in academic language.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, nevertheless, thereby. So you got those kinds of adverbs, then things like arguably or could be argued. Could be argued occurs 10 times more often in academic writing because it's one of the ways that we hedge when we're making arguments or we're presenting other points of view. We use that kind of language.
Yeah. Good for the debate team too, right?
It is. So that's a place where you may hear it in speech.
All right. Thanks, Anne.
Thanks, Rena.